Notice what this was. He says, "For in Christ Jesus," verse five, "for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So there were some people in there that was bringing them back under the law, no doubt like in in Acts 15, except ye be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And so he began, this is what the book's about. Turn back to chapter 1. In chapter 1, he said in chapter 1, notice what he said in verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Well, we know what the gospel of Christ is. The gospel of Christ, as found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that God raised him the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's good news. That's good news to this world, that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And so there was some people that perverted the gospel of Christ. They preached that, but yet they turned it. They added something to it, and it made the gospel of Christ of none effect. In fact, look at this word here in verse 6. The word pervert in verse 7. Notice in Acts chapter 2. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 and notice this word how it's translated. Now we're coming back to Galatians. In Acts chapter 2, and notice verse 20. In Acts chapter 2, verse 20, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord." The word "turned," the sun shall be turned. That is to pervert. Same word. You turn it into something. Look at the principle over here in Jude. Turn to Jude. Notice in the book of Jude. In Jude, notice what he says in Jude. Let me find it right quick. Okay, verse 4. In Jude, verse 4, "There were certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men," there's the word now, "turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ." They turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now look back in Galatians in chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, they turned. He said there, chapter 1, turn. In Galatians 1, he said they pervert. They turn the grace of God. And lasciviousness is a work of flesh. They turn the gospel into a work of flesh. That's the idea of Galatians chapter 1. They were people there that were teaching the gospel of Christ, but they were adding to the gospel of Christ, and that turned it into a work of the flesh. You have the same thing today. You have people that have preached the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then you'll have them to tell them, but you got to turn from your sins and walk away from your sins, clean up your life, or be baptized in water, or God won't save you. They took the gospel of Christ and perverted it. They turned it into a work of the flesh. And then men say, well, he preaches the same gospel like you do. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Folks, I want to tell you, if you add or take away any part of the grace of God in the gospel, you have perverted it. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that, the faith, is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you have to raise as much as your little finger, you added something to the gospel and the grace of God. I appreciate what Robbie said about your salvation. God fixed it. And God provided you a sacrifice. God did everything. He planned it. He provided it. He performed it. He done it all in your behalf, and you had no part in it. It was done before you was ever born, so you can't brag about anything about it. So what do? You believe it. You believe the gospel. And if you don't believe it, then God will never save you. He cannot do anything with unbelief. I was thinking about it yesterday. And I'd always been thinking about the sin of unbelief. You know, that's one that Jesus never died for. You know what sin is? Sin is a transgression of the law. Do you know what your sins are? They're against God. And God offered a sacrifice to atone for them sins. But you know what unbelief is? That's your will. You choose not to believe it. Do you realize on the cross Jesus Christ became the murderer? He became every sin that there is that is against God. He became God made him to be sin. But do you know one that he didn't? He was never in unbelief. He died in faith. He always believed. He never believed in vain. Unbelief. The law is outside of the cross. You choose not to believe. You end up in the lake of fire after hearing the gospel Sunday after Sunday. That was your choice. You chose not to believe. Not God's. He done it all so you could have life. Now back in Galatians. Notice this thing about Galatians chapter 6 now. So he's dealing with people that started out, people come in, turned it, they began to believe it. It would be like here. It would be like here we are. We have a Bible church and we preach the gospel of the grace of God, and they would come in, some people, and say, well, I think you really ought to show forth your testimony, an outward showing of what has happened inwardly. I think you need to testify and have be baptized, or you're not right with God. And that thing would spread through, and all of a sudden, y'all would say, well, I don't see no harm in it. I'll just go on and do it. Well, here's the harm. What you're saying is you're not complete. What you're saying is that what Christ did on the cross wasn't enough. We have to have some outward showing, manifestation, or God is not pleased with us. And so God wouldn't be pleased with me just believing the cross and trusting in His Son. I have to do some work of the flesh in order to get God to be pleased with me. Come on, isn't that what they say? I have to live a certain life. I have to do certain things or God is not pleased with me. And most of them say, you're not even saved. If you were saved, you would do this. If you were saved, you wouldn't do that. I mean, on and on the thing goes. Folks, I'm saved based upon what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, and it has nothing to do with me. I receive it. Now, I believe you ought to try to please the Lord in the Scripture. We'll look at that. In fact, let's look at it before we look, hang on to Galatians now and just come over to Thessalonians. Now, you know, in Thessalonians, Paul talks about some things, and there's some things that, look what he says in chapter 4. In chapter 4. And I'm not going to go through all the verses, but notice in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, notice in verse 1, Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us, well, who's us? Be Paul and Timothy and them, wouldn't it? Notice he said, received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Well, folks, ain't no doubt about it. I mean, he goes on, how to walk and to please God. Well, who do you receive instructions on that? It'd be Paul, wouldn't it? Now listen. Y'all should be excited. You Panthers won last night. Did you stay up real late and celebrate or something? So we have ordinances. Well, not ordinances, we have rules, so to speak, and laws. Well, I guess you could. There are things that by the Bible say. In fact, look in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They're blinded, folks. And Paul said, don't walk like they walk. He look in chapter 4, verse 1. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You're called with a heavenly calling. You have the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You lost your identity. You lost your ownership when you trusted Christ and the Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. You become His property and you took His identity. God sees you as He sees Jesus Christ. Good night, that ought to... I mean, folks, how better could you get? God looks at me the same way that He looks at Jesus Christ. Why? I have His righteousness. In fact, look at Ephesians 5. Notice what he said there in Ephesians 5, a reference to Christ. The Bible says, verse 30, for we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You know what a member is? Your hand is a member of your body. Your fingers are a member of your body. Your two eyes are members of your body. Your two ears are members of your body. I mean, every part of your body is a member of that body. And whose body are we members of? Come on, who are you? Are you saved? We're members of Christ's body. We're of His flesh, he said, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They're one, they're two bodies, a man and a woman. I see two people, but yet they're one flesh, they're one, they're in spirit, they're one in name. God created man and woman and called their name Adam. Mr. Adam and Mrs. Adam. Look back with me to hang on to Galatians now, but turn back to 1 Corinthians. And also, 1 Corinthians. We'll go there. And notice in 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is what? Are you one spirit with him? Yes, you are. And Ephesians says you're bones of his bones, you're members of his body. Notice in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice what he says, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, you have the Spirit of Christ, then the Lord is in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You're joined. You're made one spirit with him. Ha! He's in you. You're in him. You have his name. You have his identity. Verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. You know something? The more you take in this book, the more you study the epistles of Paul, the more you indoctrinate yourself, the more like the Lord you become. And you're going to have a problem with it, old flesh. But one day this flesh will be took out of the way, and we'll have he's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body, and then we'll be completely in his glory. Notice what he said in chapter 4. In chapter 4, in verse, what he says there in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man renewed by day by day. That inward man is that image of the Lord that's in you. It's renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, our old outward body, our material things that we have, they're all going to pass away. But notice what he said, but at the things which are not seen, that inward man, that's the things you ought to be concerned about. That's what you ought to try to build up and renew every day. While we renew this old body all the time, we're always powdering it, perfuming it, combing his hair and doing everything and washing it. I mean, folks, let me tell you, this old body's a vile body. If you don't believe it's a vile body, just don't take a shower for a week. You know what it's going to do? It's going to stink. And if you wait till you smell you, somebody else has done smelt you 3 days ago. It's vile. There's nothing good about the old flesh. But that inward man, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His image. That's the one we need to be concerned about. But he says there, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look what he said in chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you have a building? If you're saved, you do. That's eternal in the heavens. Now back in Galatians, and I want to just for a few moments, I want you to look in Galatians chapter 6. And I said all of that. People that are trying to pervert the gospel in our day. They're changing the gospel of our day. God has told us that we ought to walk to please Him. Where do we get the instructions? Out of the epistle of Paul. But folks, we need to help one another. Notice what he says in chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, remember who he's talking to, people that had been called from his gospel, that had went back into bondage, that was listening to false teachers. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, or were they overtaken in fault? Yes, they was. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, not with a haughty or proud spirit, but a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The temptation of today is the same temptation of Paul's day, and it has to do with what people believe. Your old flesh always wants to try to help God out. Even after you're saved, you pray for something, and then you sit around thinking about, well, now if this happened, Lord, that would work that out. And you try to figure it and plan and to make God fit in your plans. This is how you can answer that prayer. The old flesh is always there. But look what he said. Restore such a one, the spiritual. That word restore, it is a word that means to join perfectly together, to make perfect. Not sinless perfect, but maturity. It's the same as perfecting, to frame, fit, to prepare, mend. Look with me, hang on to Galatians, and look back in first, or go over to 1 Thessalonians, and notice in 1 Thessalonians 3:10. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. I want you just for the next 10 minutes or so, I want you to think about the ministry of restitution. There is people that's in the body of Christ today, and there could be some that's in this church, and they need to be restored. They need to be mended. They need to be matured. And there are people in here that God has said, you can do it. The spiritual. But look what he says in chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Same word as restored in Galatians chapter 1. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. I'm just going to read verse 12. He is talking about the gifts of verse 11, the pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect boy, child, a perfect what? Man, maturity, perfecting, restoring, mending, bringing together in unity. That's the job of a preacher, pastor, teacher, evangelist. He's to mature the saints. He's to bring the saints together in unity and restore them to a spiritual state. But we don't see that today. We see a church that's divided today. We see walls of denomination and splinters and splits, and the splits split and split on down the line. And we see people today that hear over and over things that sounds good to their ears, but it's not scriptural truth. Just listen to what's on the airwaves. Listen to the radios. Read the commentaries. How far we've got away from this Bible that we have. But there are people here that can restore. It's to men. Look with me in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, notice in verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in his ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. That word mending is the same as restored. It's the same as perfecting in Ephesians 4, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Mending, you're bringing it to where you can get it back to its original purpose. The use that you could use the nets, they had to mend them back. God, give us men today that'll preach and teach to bring the body back into unity where God can use it. God help us, we have a part in the ministry here. The Lord, give us a ministry. And it's a great ministry. So will you not minister to thousands? I'm ministering to who the Lord sends here. I teach and try to mature the people that the Lord sends. If He wants 1,000, He can send 1,000. If He gets down to 50, whatever the Lord wants, it's His job, it's His ministry, it's His building, it's His church. I just want my work to be a quality work. I ain't worried about the quantity. Now notice this thing. Mending, restoring, fit. Make it fit. Fit for the master's use. Back in Galatians now in chapter 6, I think you get the idea of the word. Notice what he says there in verse, if any man be overtaken in a fault, that fault's doctrine. But it might not just be doctrine. It might be something that has robbed this man. This man might be something that somebody's done, or this woman, or whatever. But look what he says. He said there, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Well, how do you know if you're spiritual or not? Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, notice in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice what he says. And folks, in chapter 2 is where it all begins. He talks about there, in chapter 2, the mystery, but in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walking as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, and I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? If you call yourself by something, or you follow this one, or you follow that, he's talking about splinters in the church. And it might not be doctrine, it might be your little clique. There ain't to be no cliques in here. Come on, say amen right there. There ain't to be. You're to look at one another as members of the body of Christ. You all, every one of you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, you're a member of the body of Christ. You're in the same body that I am. And in that body, we're all equal in Christ. We might do different jobs, but they're all important. You know, you don't think things is important till you get something happens to them, or something is done away with, or you lose them. A lot of the body can function without other members. I see people with legs blowed off in war, and our veterans and their arms is missing limbs and fingers and eyes, and they still function. I've seen miraculously videos of people that was born without legs and arms, and they just do things. Amazes me. And then there's parts of the body that you cannot do without. You can't live without a pancreas, without a heart. And no matter how smart man gets, there's one organ that they'll never, ever. They can take a heart out of another man and put it in another one, and that man will live. But you'll never, ever see a brain transplant. And God fixed it. That's for your spirit, soul, mind. It'll never happen. It's a wonderful thing God made our bodies. And we abuse it so, and I'm number one on the guilty list. I mean, you know, what we put in it, it's amazing. And I always use that verse, it's not what goeth in the body that defiles it, it's what comes out of it. So I just keep cramming. And I know I shouldn't. But isn't it something about this body, their body of Christ? All of my members in my body, they work different jobs, they do different things, and I might abuse some of them, and I don't mean to, and then there's some that bothers me, that aches and pains, and all of this, but they're all got a job to do. Think, you say your toes is not important, well try to walk with or out them. And this body of Christ is in here. In this coming year, we'll all have the spirit of restitution to one another. Ye that are spiritual. Who's spiritual? Look back in chapter 2, verse 15. In chapter 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged to no man. What do you use as a judgment? What do you use as a yardstick? What do you use as a gauge to go by to judge all things? You use the Word of God. That's where the mind of Christ is at. And Paul wrote it down for you in 13 books. So I thought all the Bible is for me, but it's not all to me. And I read the rest of the Bible in light of what is to me. I love to read it. And I'm not just saying that. I do love to read it. And I try to read it every day. And I love to read about the Gospels and watch the life of the Lord and what He did. And I realize that's my Savior. I like to read the stories and hear about David and Goliath. And it always stirs me up inside. I picture, just like when Robbie was talking about him, how did old David come out there? And he said, I come in the name of the Lord. It didn't matter whether David or not could sling a sling or not. The Spirit of God was going to be driving that stone. It was the Lord. Folks, that's the whole thing about all of this restoring and being spiritual, is trusting and believing the Lord will do what He said He'll do. He's a faithful God. Who that are spiritual. You're either carnal, or you're spiritual. You say, well, I'm in the spirit, in the body of Christ, but you might be carnal. You know, a carnal-minded man, somebody that's carnal in here, is someone that likes to praise. Someone that won't follow Paul. There's a natural man, carnal man, a spiritual man. Which are you? He that is spiritual, someone that believes the book, someone that follows the Paul, restore such a one. And I'm going to close. Look back in Galatians again. Bear ye, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is that law? What is the law of Christ? Look back in Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Verse 10 says, love worketh no evil to his neighbor. What's the rest of it? Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the what? Look in verse 9, the last part of that verse says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know what James says about that law? The James says over there, the royal law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what's missing in a church today? It's love for one another. What is I'm talking about? I'm not talking about this mushy, honey, bunny, words coming out, slops all that love that Hollywood calls love. That's lust. I'm talking about real love, agape love. I'm talking about charity. That's loving somebody, doing stuff for somebody so that they're happy, whether you get anything in return or not. Or you don't love till you love like that. We love to get loved in return. We give to get given to. I'm talking about giving without expecting anything. I'm talking about doing something for every people that is in here. Doing for one another and not even expecting anybody to do for you. That's love. He says, husbands, love your wives. That's a commandment. That's not if you feel like it. That's not something. That's a commandment that God gave to a husband. And God wouldn't have told you to do it if you couldn't have done it. Well, how you do it? You give yourself to him. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. What is true love? It works no ill. You give yourself to one another. Well, I ain't giving myself. They don't talk to me. I won't talk to them. They don't do this. I won't do that. They don't do for me. I'm not going to do for them. You're carnal if you're even saved. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. That helped me. Folks, in 2015, I'm refusing to get old. Just all I'm asking, try the Lord out. Try Him out. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I want to give myself to people. I want to help people. I want to do for people. And whether they want me to, if I can, I want to help them. As a member of the body of Christ in here, I want to serve you. I want to be here. I want to give. I want to pray. I want to do more for you, Lord. Just try Him. And see what He does for you. I appreciate this man right there. You know, I do. I appreciate Winston. I guarantee you, you don't come into this church and get 5 feet from him without him shaking your hand. That's a blessing, Winston. When is it that you went out of your way to shake some people's hands and say, I want to tell you, I appreciate you. I'm glad that you're a part of our church. Have you ever told anybody that? Oh, I can feel it. Folks, we're all we have got. This is it. And if we're not in unity, then what are we going to do? How can two walk together in agreement? Walk together except they agree. That's Amos chapter 3. God would have us all to believe the same thing and be in unity And ye that are spiritual, restore such people. Go to them. Don't go to them and put them down. Don't go to them and say, hey, you're no good. They already know that. Go to them and lift them up. One other passage. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Here's the spiritual man. He not only has the Word of God, he's look what it doctrinally right, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's people that might not know the Word of God like we know it. Bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edifying or edification. Then we are to let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Build them up. Restore them. Lift them up. But we're so concerned about pleasing ourselves. We're always worried. Fret. Oh, God. Just go and try to build people up. See, that's where your faith comes in. You trust the Lord. Go to one another. Help one another. Greet one another with a smile. Do you know there's times that I come up here and my head is splitting and my body's aching and I'm tired and preach. But I don't want nobody to know it. I try to smile. You say, well, you lifting yourself up. Well, nobody else is going to lift me up, so I might as well lift myself up. I'm just telling you, folks, even if you feel bad, you don't feel good, smile. Good to see you. I have rheumatoid arthritis. And a lot of times people will grab this hand and they squeeze it. And I smile. It's not a glad to see you. But I don't get mad. Chill out and enjoy the company of other members of the body of Christ. Thank you for being here, and may the Lord bless you as he has me.